looking at some of the priceless proverbs that we've been looking at. We're going to end tonight looking at one more proverb, and it's going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, looking at verse 23 is going to be the main verse that was selected. So Proverbs 4, verse 23, I'm going to read that first. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Let's pray. God, I pray that we would understand this text, this one verse, in light of the book of Proverbs. And I pray that you would give us hearts to obey it and to understand it and to glorify you through it. In Jesus' name, amen. If we were to read this one verse just alone, I think there's no doubt that it's very important for us to guard our emotional well-being, guard our hearts. And that's what this verse seems to be saying. It says, watch over your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. And none of us would doubt that that's important. It's very important that we guard our heart, our emotions. We can fall so easily into a trap of being emotionally on a roller coaster, up and down all the time, and allowing every little thing to bother our emotions. So I think that is important, that we be emotionally well-being, but that's not really what this verse is talking about. And if we were to strip it from the context, maybe that's the impression that we might get. I've been saying over and over these last few weeks in looking at Proverbs that even though these are pithy sayings that oftentimes we look at just at one verse, there's so much more to the book of Proverbs than taking one verse at a time. They actually do have a context to them. And when we understand the context of the book of Proverbs, we can more faithfully understand the text. So we often remember verse 23 here because it has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? It's got a metaphor in there about guarding our heart, and it speaks to our emotions. And it makes it such an easy thing to remember. Watch over your heart, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. And it's got good imagery to it. So that pops out to us, and we remember that kind of imagery. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that we remember the Bible, right? It's a good thing that we're be able to quote these kinds of verses and recall them. It helps us to remember so that we might apply them in our lives. But in order to truly apply verse 23, we have to see it in light of what comes before it. Verses 13 through 22 as well. So I'm going to read also verses 13 through 23 of Proverbs chapter 4. And Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 13. It says, "Take hold of instruction and do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your path. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body." And then verse 23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." We see in that first verse that I read, verse 13, that it appeals that we hold on to God's wisdom. For us, that means the Bible, right? God's wisdom, as we know it, is the Bible. Of course, God's wisdom goes beyond that. He hasn't revealed every single possible thing that can be known in the universe or everything that he knows, but everything that we need to know is recorded in Scripture. So that's God's instruction to us. And verse 13 says to take hold of it and do not let it go. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare in which Satan and his demons are constantly trying to strip us of God's Word, trying to struggle with us to keep us from reading God's Word. And even though we don't physically do it, it's like Satan is grasping onto the other end of the Bible and trying to take it away from us, and we need to cling on to it. And verse 13 says very clearly, cling on to God's Word. Do not let it go. Oftentimes we forget about that spiritual warfare in our lives. We don't see demons, so we forget about them. But very clearly in Scripture that we are to cling on to God's Word because Satan is trying to take it away from us. God's Word is our life. It tells us how to live. It tells us everything we need to know about God as far as this life is concerned. I'm looking forward to our next life because there's going to be things that we learn in heaven that were so far beyond our capability of understanding here on the earth. I'm just grateful that God's going to give us the opportunity to learn even more about Him than we know now. Verses 14 and 15 then give us some practical ways to guard God's Word in us. It says, don't walk on the wicked path. That's verse 14. And it also says, walk on your own path, which ought to be according to God's Word. It's my own paraphrase. But basically, there's two paths of life. There's a wicked path and there's God's righteous path. The way that our path should be is God's path. The path that we're supposed to be walking on is according to God's Word and not our own ideas and not our own wicked ways, which are natural to us, the sinful behaviors of our own flesh. We're supposed to walk on God's path instead. Then verses 16 through 19 describe the wicked person and compare him with the righteous person. It says in verse 16 that the wicked cannot sleep unless they do evil. There are people like that in the world who plot and plan things just because they're evil, and they know they enjoy those things. And like we talked about last week, it's the foolish person who enjoys doing evil. But most people, I think, they don't consider themselves in this category. They consider themselves to be good people, right? People who aren't Christians, they consider themselves to be righteous. They do good things. They give to charity. So they don't, when they might read this, or if we might tell them this kind of verse, they say, oh, well, that's not me. I don't do evil. And yet the New Testament says that anything not done in faith is sin. And so often we consider ourselves not in that category too. And yet we fall short because we don't act in faith. And yet the contrast to that is in verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. It's hard for us to see ourselves in that description as well. It's hard for us to see how our own sinfulness cannot get in the way of walking in this bright path, and yet that's what Scripture tells us that we do. Not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. We don't deserve that, but God's illuminated our path with the truth of God's Word. And everything that we see now in the world is in light of God's Word. And everything that we do ought to be done in light of God's Word. And that's how our path is light. Not because of our own deeds, but because of God's righteousness and grace. Verses 20 through 23 then, again return to this command to hold on to God's Word. It says in verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. But the heart, in verse 21, it talks about the heart again. It says, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. A while back, I preached about how we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and with all of our strength. And we talked about how the heart, especially in the Old Testament, we often think about the heart in terms of emotions. But the heart in terms of the Old Testament is also includes the mind and our convictions, our willpower and those kinds of things. So when we keep this in mind about the heart being more than just emotions, but also our mind and our convictions, we start to see kind of a different emphasis to verse 23 that we read earlier. Let's read that again. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. When the writer wrote this, he wasn't just talking about watching over our emotions, our emotional well-being. That's a part of it. I think that is a part of it. But it's talking also about our mind. And as we've been talking about just tonight, guarding our mind means being in God's Word. It's clinging on to God's Word. If you compare verse 23 with the first verse that we read, verse 13, you'll see that they're essentially saying the exact same thing, which is why I started with 13. I wanted to go back to that because it says in verse 13, take hold of the instruction, do not let it go. Then it says, guard her, for she is your life. Compare that to verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That phrase, watch over, uses the exact same word as guard her. We're to guard our hearts, just as we are to guard God's word in our minds. It says in verse 13 that God's word, the instruction that we're getting from God's word, that is our life. She is our life, is what it says. And in verse 23, it says that our heart, from it flows the springs of life. There's so much in these two verses, and if we don't compare them, we miss that. We miss that it's more than just God's, it's more than just our emotions that we're supposed to be guarding, but it's God's word in our minds that we should be guarding. And like I said before, Satan is trying to strip that away from us all the time. He wants us to not be in God's word. He wants us to not be constantly going to him in prayer and having devotions in God's word. But that's exactly what we're to cling to. In a lot of Christians' lives, I think Satan's won the victory. He's won the victory in that he's stripped the passion of God's word that we used to have. And a lot of Christians don't have their daily quiet times, or maybe even a weekly quiet time. Let's get back to that. Because that is our life, and that is what flows from the wellsprings of our life. Let's pray. God, I pray that we would be faithful to your word, that we'd be faithful to go to it constantly in devotion, and to memorize it, having it on our lips, and having it in our minds, and in our hearts, so that we might live by it and apply it to our lives every day. I pray that we would be victorious over Satan and his demons, who are constantly trying to strip your word away from us. God, I pray that you would keep us safe from all those things, so that we might glorify you more and be more faithful to you and more faithful to your word. In Jesus' name I pray.